Again, we're going into the Amplified, and we're going to 1 Peter chapter 4. So, Lord, let your Spirit open our hearts, give us an open heaven, and a mind to hear what your Spirit is speaking to us, in Jesus' name. I'm using the Amplified because there was a press to make sure that I would use that particular version to kind of give a little better understanding of his word and his way of looking at things rather than our own. Verse 1, chapter 4, 1 Peter. So since Christ suffered in the flesh for us and for you, arm yourself with the same thought and purpose, patiently to suffer rather than fail, to please God. For whoever has suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ, in parentheses, has done with intentional sin, has stopped pleasing himself and the world, and is now pleasing God. Now, if it's a misprint here, that our Savior chose to suffer in the flesh. So it's something that happens to people. Got it? Verse 2 says, so that he can no longer spend the rest of his natural life living by his human appetites and desires, but he lives for what God wills. So the intent of suffering is what? To change your mind about where and what your purposes are, why you have suffered, why you have gone through what you've gone through. When you go through something like this, your whole mentality starts to be readjusted. And instead of satisfying number one, God willing, you'll start saying, God, what are you up to? Even if you get mad at him, now I know you nice guys never got angry with him, but I have. At least you're talking to him. Amen? And he will not fall off the throne. So again, verse 2, so that he can no longer spend the rest of his natural living life, or life living, by his human appetites. Human appetites drive all of us. How many have found themselves going to the refrigerator when you're not hungry? Just because you've got a taste in your mouth for, ooh, just one more little piece of that pie. Never happened to you guys? How many of you know the refrigerator talks? Yes. He has a voice. So does the Lord. Amen. Amen? Amen? So those of you who say, oh my God, God doesn't talk to me. Well, the refrigerator does. The pie does. The chocolate cookie. Amen. The butterscotch ones talk to me. Verse 3. For the time that is past already suffices for doing what the Gentiles like to do, living as you have done, in shameless, insolent wantonness, in lustful desires, drunkenness, reveling, drinking, abouts, and abominable, lawless idolatries. They are astonished and think it very queer that you do not run, or that you do not now run hand in hand with them in the same excesses of dispensation or dissipation, and they abuse you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge and pass sentence on the living and the dead. For this is why the good news, or the gospel, was preached in their lifetime, even to the dead, that though judged in fleshly bodies as men are, they might live in the spirit as God does. How did Jesus make out? We talked about a little bit of that on Sunday. And I'm not blaming anybody for making mistakes. I am saying, however, when you make one, ask for the grace to change it. And not to live there in self-condemnation and criticism and find yourself in a hopeless depression, and that's not where you want to live. Agreed?
Agreed.
All right, verse 7. But the end and culmination of all things has now come near. Keep sound-minded and self-restrained and alert, therefore, the practice of prayer. Whew. So what does he want us to do? Ask for help. Verse 8, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. That's a heavy one sometimes because we don't feel like loving somebody sometimes. For love covers a multitude of sins. Forgives and disregards the offense of others. Proverbs 10:12 confirms it. Practice hospitality to one another. That is those of the household of faith. Be hospitable. That is, be a lover of strangers with brotherly affection for the unknown guests and foreigners, the poor and all others who come your way, who are Christ's body. And in each instance, do it ungrudgingly, cordially, and graciously without complaining, but as representing him. If you're an ambassador, are you an ambassador only when you're up to great gifts and great anointings? Or are you an ambassador when you're having a sleepless night? All the time. Why? By choice. It's a choice we make to be hospitable. It's a choice we make to love one another. It doesn't mean you're going to agree with everything that this book says, because you may not be ready. How many find that there's a few corners that you'd like to rip out? Thank you. Why? Because you're not ready yet. But you know what? God knows that too. He doesn't give up on us because we're not ready to do all this, according to St. Peter. St. Peter's probably 60 or 70. I don't know how old he was when he wrote this. But you know what? I've got a lot more compassion now than I had when I was 20. Why? Because I've learned it's a better way. And I learned it by making mistakes. Okay? So if you're 20-something, look at your neighbor and say, I'm still learning. Come on. If you're 30-something, tell your neighbor, I'm still learning. If you're 40-something, I'm still learning. 60, 70, 80, I don't care what the number is. I'm still learning. Why? I haven't got my act yet together. I got 120 years to get it together. Genesis 6:3. Got 120 years. That's not too bad. You got a few more years to practice. Amen? So what am I saying to you? There's a purpose in all things. And even what happened in Boston, I don't know what the fruit's going to be, but my heart is for the churches to come alive in Christ and come in harmony together. And to stop this war amongst each other.
Amen.
Thank you. You know, oh, well, we're the only ones that have the gifts, or we're the only ones that have the rules. Only one. Come on. You've got the same cotton picking book. Learn to get along and love each other by choice. Okay? You know, a year ago when we had the 36 churches got together. That was the biggest miracle in New England. We outshone the majority of the nation. 36 churches got along for 4 consecutive weekends and worked together for salvation and healing for the body of Christ. And the guys and the girls got to know each other. And that was cool. Why? Because God had orchestrated a time of change for our area. Is he stopped? Is he pulling away? No. He's still on the job. How many know when you plant a seed, the tree doesn't grow overnight? Thank you. When you plant a seed, it takes time. Last year, Gabby watched me because somebody gave us some tomato plants. But her mother went out and bought her a little kit, about yay big,
that you water, and there's just little seeds. So you had to put a seed in each one. And of course, she watched them every day. And of course, it takes forever for that seed to break open. And she was just having a very hard time at 5 years old, watching that pile of dirt not change. Then one day I showed her that there was a little sprig about maybe a 16th of an inch long, little green thing sticking out. She says, "Is that going to be?" And I said, "Yes, it will." And of course, within a few days, you know, it had a few little shoots that came out. And the next thing you know, we had a leaf. And she was all excited. She was so excited that she wanted to plant it right away. And I said, "It's not strong enough yet. Are you ready to be transplanted, or are you not strong enough yet? Some of us need to be covered up for a little while longer, and it's okay. The dirt on top of you ain't going to hurt you. You're going to spring right through. Come on. Did you ever see where the trees grow? In the middle of a mountain where there's hardly nothing? And they grow. One little seed in the middle of a wall of rocks. And it grows. You mean to tell me God can't make you grow wherever you're particularly planted? Might be in the middle of some rocks. It's not too hard for the Lord. And even when the wind blows, you may shift back and forth, but praise God, you'll make it if you keep asking for grace. Verse 10. As each of you has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent of gracious divine endowment, employ it for one another, as befits good trustees of God's many-sided grace. Did you hear? Many-sided grace. Faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by good behavior. Or is that a misprint? Unmerited favor. I never want you to forget that one. Because I'm only here because he put me here. I didn't want this job. In fact, I was talking to somebody about that today. I never asked for this job. This was not the job I wanted. You know why? Because I had to listen to all the gossip that went on about the pastor that I worked for 18 years. And it wasn't pretty. For 21 years I worked under him. And for 21 years I listened to everybody's manure because he didn't do it right. You know what? He did the best he could. I don't do it all right. I don't do it all perfect. But you know what? I'm doing the best I can. It may not be to your satisfaction, but you know what? It's not important if you're happy or not. What's important is if God says to me, "How much did you do today?" It's not going to be how much I did. It's how much I did well. And I'm not trying to defend myself. I'm trying to tell you every one of you has the same responsibility. When you go to bed at night, if he says, "Well done, servant. Well done, ambassador. Well done, lover." Then rest and get ready for the next day, because you know what? There's going to be some challenges tomorrow. Amen? Amen. And it's okay to have some challenges. Otherwise, you would never mature. Close your eyes. Holy Spirit, I believe tonight that you are strengthening us to become more and more what we've been called to be, lovers, unconditional to each other and to the Lord. Even when we don't understand what he's up to, even with this challenge for New England, this challenge for our nation, I believe on the other side, God's grace and unmerited favor will have us come out better, stronger, and a better people. And I pray with all my heart that we will acknowledge you, Lord, over all this. In Jesus' name.